since I saw several come in after Tim gave, you know, his portion this morning, I want to remind you, since you weren't here, he said to him what he keeps hearing is like three words that in his mind sums up the conference. And it's not being spoken by the, you know, Jesus is not speaking as the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's not really speaking as the lamb here. But he's speaking as a husband to his bride. And he says, what Tim says, what I keep hearing are three words. I want you. I want you. We are the bride. He is madly in love with you. I mean, madly, desperately in love with you. He wants you. Someone shared a word with me. This is one. They want to remain anonymous. But listen to this. It's the Lord speaking. It says, beloved, I see the emptiness and the discontentment in your heart. You thought that serving me and doing ministry in my name would satisfy the longing in your heart. But you have been disappointed and frustrated. Your desire to know me is so great that you feel your heart will burst. And you've wondered if there's something wrong with you because you don't get excited about church activities and programs like others around you. Your strong desire to know me brings great joy to my heart. Be encouraged, beloved, for I am the one who has placed that desire within you, and I am drawing you unto myself. You see, no amount of activity, no amount of successful ministry will fulfill that desire within you. Only knowing me intimately will satisfy the longing and the desire of your heart. I'm not coming back for servants. I'm coming back for a bride. Oh, my goodness. So rise up, my fair one, and come away with me, away from the activities, the programs, the traditions of men. You won't find me in those things. You'll find me when you search for me with all of your heart and your soul, mind, and strength. Don't worry about working for me. Just spend time with me. Is that good stuff or what? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, now this being the last service of this conference, I want to put you in remembrance of a few things that we never even got to talk about during the conference because, see, again, I already know the name of the particular devil. I know the name of the devil that's waiting at your house. His name is Samo. Samo, Samo. Wasn't the conference wonderful? I felt his love. I felt his presence. Hallelujah. I heard the word of God. I saw Bronk and Jim be ushers. Hallelujah. Is that perfect or what? The greatest among you shall be your servant. Perfect. But see, Monday, same old. And I'm just going to tell you as a teacher now. Say, I'm not a pastor really. I'm going to tell you as a teacher, if you don't do something different, nothing will change. Hallelujah. All right. Open your Bibles to Romans 8. Well, is this not conference? Where do you think you're supposed to open your Bible to? Just going to remind you of two things. And then we're going to get into the handout that's been given to you. While you're turning to Romans 8, I'm going to, one more time, put you in remembrance of the blueprint of the prayer center. Now, I know everybody has callings within this blueprint. We have evangelists in the house. I promise not to call anybody forward by name or anything. We have evangelists in the house that are pure blood evangelists. I mean, you get around them, if they don't win souls, they're going to die. Okay? I'm a teacher in the body of Christ. You can put me anywhere, I will wind up teaching. I can't help that. It's what I do. I used to teach in real estate. Whatever it is I'm doing, I'm going to be, that's just who I am. You, I have no idea what your calling is, okay? I don't know. It's not even my job, really. It's the Holy Spirit's job to let you know what it is, train you up for what it is, and put you where you belong to do what it is. You got that? Okay? But all of those, all of the parts of the body still, if you're connected with the prayer center, we're all contained still within this overall blueprint that God gave Pastor Dave way back in the beginning. And it's real simple. It's, you know, a one-sentence blueprint is pretty straightforward. And I've got it in blue. So I wouldn't forget, this is Dave's blueprint. So it's blueprint. Oh, anyway. He had all those activities going, 23 churches, I forget what all now, but all of that going. And the Lord said to him, you are not called to administrate the way you're trying to administrate that empire. Resign it. Move to Tulsa. And here's the blueprint. This is your commission now. You are to go as far as you can into me for the sole purpose of pulling out the miraculous. As time went on, the Lord said, I want you to take a group of people. Hello, group. And those listening or watching. And all of you together, go in to me far enough to pull out the miraculous. Again, I'm going to draw your attention to our prayer box and the photos that are on there. You tell me, is there anywhere on... In fact, I'll hold it up. I'm just going to... The pictures on here, now inside are all kind of prayer requests, but the pictures on this box represent impossible cases, even to modern science, with the best of technology that they have. Tommy Perez is the one right here in the center. This is Tommy. Okay, I know you can't see it too well from there. But Tommy Perez, let me ask you, first off, there's no hospital on earth where I can take him, where they can get him out of the wheelchair, get him speaking right, get everything right. And there's no natural place with natural means to take him. But now what's sad is there's no ministry. There's no church. Now I'm not saying by the gifts of the Spirit it couldn't happen. That's different. God could use you in the gifts of the Spirit for any individual today. But what I'm saying is when Jesus himself was on planet Earth in his physical body, if I took Tommy Perez there, would I bring him home healed? Yes. Absolutely. We don't have a question. Jesus is alive and well. Jesus is alive and well. The works that I do, shall you do also. He doesn't want to have just one place. He wants where his name is to be able to bring these people. And they get their miracle. Repeat after me. First time, every time, no exceptions. Now that is the blueprint. That is the assignment. Within that assignment is your calling. Again, you may be helps, you may be governments, you may be evangelists, you may be teacher. I have no idea. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Stay in fellowship with us and let us pursue this mandate. Overall, this is our calling. Okay? It's fine to feed the poor. It's fine to do all of those things. Re-listen to Bronx Message. It's great. All of them are great. I can't wait. I want to hear them all again. Do you think you can receive that much wisdom in one hearing? Okay. Hallelujah. Oh, Romans 8. Romans 8, and again, I'm not even going to be, I'm just going to barely touch on this. Romans 8, 1 through 15 is talking about the new creature you have been made. It has everything to do with the law of the Spirit of life. It has to be with the very fact that when you got born again, miracle of miracles, mystery of mysteries, somehow Christ joined with your spirit to make you brand new. You're not that same old sinner. You're not an old sinner saved by grace. You were an old sinner. You got saved by grace. Now you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are God's child. verses 1 through 15 are all talking about this Spirit of Christ, that new man, that new spirit within you, who you really are in Christ. And the whole job is to learn to be led by that new man. And if you learn to be led by that new man, you're showing the whole world you are a child of God. Amen. Then in verse 16 is the first time that the Holy Spirit really is mentioned. Now, I know in those earlier verses there, it's capital S, but every one of those should be little s. The first time that the Holy Spirit is mentioned is verse 16, and you can tell it real easy. The Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, should be Himself, beareth witness with our spirit. Notice they got it right, little s. That's the new you. That's the new you, that we are the children of God, and the Holy Spirit's always going to be telling you that. Even in your conscience, you know, you've got a conscience, you know, but if you're about to override that thing, the Holy Ghost is going to come in, because we're going to get to it here in a minute. He also, what does that mean? Also, that means in addition to something else. You not only have the new nature, you've got the Holy Spirit of God to also help you. And He'll remind you, you're getting ready to watch that thing that your conscience is already telling you not to watch that thing. And you're about to watch that thing. Conscience. What's that, Alan? Shh. Conscience. We want to watch this. The Holy Spirit also. See, I better read the verse again. See, look. Verse 26. Got to jump on that. Likewise, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, also. Boy, if you underline. Also, in addition to your new nature, He also helps with our infirmities. Then He starts going off into prayer, though, see? Now, He'll help you at that moment. He really will. He'll remind you you're a child of God. Let me back up just a little. Verse 16, for the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You're about to watch that thing. He says, it's not who you are. That's not who you are. That's who you were. You're a child of God. You don't watch that stuff. You don't watch that. You don't do that anymore. You're a child of God. He'll constantly be reminding you of who you are. But there is more help than that. And that's what we're headed to with this lesson today. Because down here in verse 26, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. It's not that he just reminds you, look, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, capital S, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, that's really talking about intercession, but it's also because why can't they be uttered? He just told you, you don't know what to pray as you ought. How would I have known in the very early days, oh Lord, let me preach 6 years in a row in Korea. How would I know to pray something like that? I wouldn't know to pray that. You know, Lord, let me, I probably have prayed. I want to be a good pastor someday. But praying in the Spirit, I found out I'm not a pastor. People call me pastor. Doesn't make me one. You can call me a Chevy. Doesn't make me a car. I'm a teacher. Now I can substitute. I can step in. I can help with anything. But I'm not. I know I'm never going to pastor a church somewhere. It's not my calling. Okay. But he also see this praying. He's literally talking about praying in the Spirit here. It's good to pray in English. I love the book Prayers That Avail Much. Isn't that a great book? Because they've taken Scripture mostly out of the Amplified Bible, I think. And they've just made prayers. And man, I love that. When I need to pray for my president, when I need to pray for my children, when I need to pray for my wife, when I need to pray for finances. Man, I not only got that book, I've got the leather-bound 50th anniversary edition. I mean, you know, yeah, it's great. I mean, it's really good, you know. But even there's a limit. Because I can't find my calling. I could read that book, I could memorize it, and I still wouldn't know what he wants to be doing next year. But, you know, there's somebody who knows. See, he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Really, the better word is orphan. O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S in the Greek. I'm not going to leave you as orphan. God, I remember those first 12 years that Sue and I loved. We got radically saved. I mean, we really did. Not perfect at all, but we got radically saved. The stuff that used to motivate us did not motivate us anymore. Not interested in going to the bars. Our lives were not about money anymore. I like money, like you like. I like nice things, but what I'm saying is, we got radically saved. Okay, but for the first 12 years, now we were filled with the Spirit. As Alan would say, we could shaka right along with you, but we didn't know there was any real reason to do it. On purpose, that anything was really happening until we met Pastor Dave. So we had 12 years of just anything that would come along. Well, yeah, we'll do that. You know, I've done everything from mowing lawns to teaching in prisons to everything in the world, you know. But we also ran into a lot of destruction that going that way. Traps that the enemy laid that we didn't know was traps. So we met Dave. Dave started saying, it's good to be a faith man. It's good to have the word in you. It's good. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by the word. That's all good. He said, don't lose any of that. He says, but what you need to do is couple with that the leadership of the Spirit. He says, Gary, if the path you're on is not the one God has for you, and the door's all slammed shut, you don't know if that's the devil or God. You know, he says, God's doing everything like wrong way, not my path. This is not what I called you to do. And you're trying to open every door, and God's got them shut. Time out. I've heard this so much in my life. If it's really God, every door will open. No, if it's really God, the first sound you're going to hear is the devil slamming every door shut on that path. But once you know, once you find the leadership of the Spirit, now's the time that you engage all of that faith teaching that you know, because you're going to kick them down in Jesus' name, go right through every one of them. It doesn't matter the obstacles the devil throws up, see? So thank God for Pastor Dave. The Spirit also helps us with our infirmities. Now, verse 27, before I get into the teaching. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit. Oh, my goodness. Every hour you give him, you don't even know what to pray. You have no idea what your calling is. Yeah, maybe you do know, and you did, but you don't know what he wants you doing next year. But he'll make intercession for you according to the will of God. He knows the plan, and he'll pray the plan. Now you can get the handout out. Now, this handout, what this is, Tim put it together, and Tim has a software that enables him to go back through all of the prophecies that have ever come through the prayer center, and by topic, he can pull out certain things. This one, now if you lose your, this is gold. What this is, these are excerpts from the prophecies over the years. Most of these are through Dave. The first one is through me right before the conference. We're going to read some of these. These are the benefits. These are not nearly all, but these are the benefits that comes to a person who will pray, and I mean seriously pray, in other tongues. When you start getting weary and you want to, how do I say it? You start slacking off. In your prayer time, it would be really... Do you really want to give this up? Do you want to? Because I'll just tell you plain, I'm a teacher. If you pray, you'll get those benefits. If you don't, you won't. I got a few agreement. But that is the truth. Oh, I can pray in English and get everything you can praying in tongues. That's a lie. That's just flat a lie. Because you don't even know what to pray. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You calling yourself, are you? You're setting your own path? Most ministers do. The denomination I grew up in, you know, when you finish your four-year Bible college curriculum, you got to decide where you're going. And if you haven't been trained how to hear the God, you're going to pick that yourself. Sorry, I mean, truth is truth. Anyway. Be nice. Okay. So we're just going to start going through here. Feel free to write on. This is yours. Make this yours. Underline. I mean, you know, my copy. I've got red underlines. I'm going to have. Before this is over, it's going to be the ugliest thing you ever saw, but it'll be so good because notes and scriptures and verses. And we're going to spend some time right here on this today, because I want you to understand. Yes, sir. Okay. Now, let's just talk plain. Can we just talk? Again, I won't pick on Tommy, because I love Tommy. And let's just talk. If Jesus was to walk through the wall right there, I believe if he walked through the wall and put his hand on this picture, Tommy Perez in New York would be healed. Isn't that right? Speak the word only. Let's just talk for a minute. I, Sue, Aaron, the pastor that was there, the parents, and I don't know how many others over the years have prayed for Tommy. And so far, nobody can get him out of the chair. I will pay your way. I mean it with all my heart. I will pay your way, pay your room and board. All expenses paid, I'll fly you right there. If you're such a hot rod, you can get it. And I hope you are. And don't get me wrong, I hope you are, but so far, if you can get him out of the chair, I'll pay all expenses. Gladly do it. But if you can't get him out of the chair, you got to pay me back. Now, never yet has anyone taken me up on that offer. Okay? God's will, now listen to me, God's will is that any one of us pray in the name of Jesus for Tommy Perez and he gets out of the chair. Amen. I have a vision in me. Of Tommy walking in here, standing upright, come in here on his own two feet, pick up this microphone and tell what great things the Lord has done for him. That is God's will. Now, what is between that and where we are? What is between us? See, that's what Dave would call the limitations imposed on us by the flesh. Dave, that's the wording that he would use. There's something between where we are and that happening. And this ministry is all about eliminating whatever that is. Well, it's the flesh. I'm going to read you, before we get into what praying in tongues does for you, I want to read this one that Tim, another one that Tim sent me. This is a prophecy, I believe, through Dave from 1995. And it's called Stand in the Furnace of Purging. Isn't that an image? There's the furnace. You know, there's a verse that said, our God is a consuming fire. Who will walk into the fire to be purged? See? So let me read you this. Few eyes in the hour in which you live are able to see things as they really are. For they are clouded by deception and the wiles of the adversary as he works his plans and purposes through the religious systems of the day. For few there be who are yielded unto my spirit, who pray much in the Holy Ghost. And because of this, the enemy has taken undue place. These things must no longer be. For those who will take a step toward me, I will not only manifest my mind, but I will manifest my emotion through them. I hear so many of the messages. Remember the kite that went up so high it disappeared? Then Alan comes and he says, but there's other strings attached to that kite. For I am not only a God of mercy, I am a God of wrath. I am a consuming fire. And I desire to purge out of my people those things that stand between me and the full operation and reception of my glory. But few there be that can stand in the furnace of purging to the completion of death to the flesh. And that is why there is so little power in the land. I am not one who cannot be touched with the feelings of your infirmities, for I stood and walked among men. I sit at the right hand of the Father, ever living, to make intercession for men. So hearken unto me and stand in the furnace of purging. and I will deliver you from the hand of your enemy, as his hold is broken over your flesh, and you walk in the fullness of my glory. But understand that power and persecution go hand in hand. So lift up your eyes in the evil day that persecution begins to emanate from those yielded to the adversary round about. Understand that your war is not with flesh and blood, but against wicked spirits who desire to possess the land. Pray for those whom the enemy uses and bless. Do not curse, and you will be able to stand and receive all that I have for you. Understanding the wiles of the adversary, his desires, and his plan. It's the flesh that stands between us and the fullness of this kind of glory. Now, benefits to those who pray much in tongues. You got this? Let's go through this together. Father, put a rein on my teacher's tongue that I not rabbit trail too much. But right on the other hand, Father, let me not leave out one syllable that your people need. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. I trust him. This first one came through me about 2 weeks before the conference. Be known as the house of prayer. I'm going to recommend again to you that message. I think it's titled Remain the House of Prayer or something similar. It's about 2 weeks before conference. And at the end of it, or one of those services, he gave this prophecy through me. I long to do things that have not been seen in this generation. For example, Tommy Perez. Okay? Homer Betancourt. Wonderful, lovely, beautiful man of God. And he's blind right now. That is not the Lord's will. And as of this moment, we've all prayed. Dave got him free for a while, but eventually it went back again, and then Dave couldn't get him free the second time, right? But that's not the Lord's will. Okay. See, I got to be careful. I long to do things that have not been seen in this generation. Now get this. I long to demonstrate my Father to a lost and dying world. But I need a people who will yield to me and surrender their lives and allow me to consume them with that very spirit of prayer. Now, there's not an individual spirit known as the spirit of prayer. He's really talking about an attitude in you where you long for the prayer closet. Allow me to purge the floor. The lessons this week, my house shall be known as the house of prayer. What did he do? He drove out the money changers. He drove out everything that wasn't of God. He taught daily in the temple, that's you. And then when he was able to take his rightful place, then came the blind and the halt to him in the temple. And he healed them. Hello, temple. Him is in there. When him is in there and your flesh is not between him and the people, allow me to purge the floor. Allow me to purge the temple of everything that must go. Allow me to fill you with the very presence of the Father, that you and those around you will hardly be able to stand. Yield to me, says the Lord, and be known once more as the house of prayer. If we accomplish nothing else in this conference, when you get back to confront same old, see, I'm not the same as when I left. This house has become a house of prayer. Amen. Then this conference was well worth it. Okay. The second one is the endurance prophecy. It came through Pastor David. It's the one that's framed and out in the foyer of the church. Great peace is my desire for you, that you may fellowship with me in love, that I can filter through and through your life. I desire to take you from where you are to a place with me, a place that you have known about way down in your spirit, that from the foundation of the world I have prepared for you. So as I lead you from place to place, I desire to flow through you with my grace. And if you will edify and edify and edify yourself. Now, what is he talking about right there, church? Praying in tongues. You will see before this is through, I will, boy, this is what I underlined, I will purge you from everything that is causing you to fail. Now, who wants that benefit? Can I see a show of hands? If you pray in tongues, you'll have that. If you don't, you won't have it. You'll be coming to conferences 10 years from now knowing why you're still a saint. The day for patty caking is over. I want to say that quote again. Persecution is coming. We haven't seen any persecution yet. Real persecution is coming. That quote from the fastest growing church in the world is in Iran. They found out real quick, persecution destroys the church of the converts. But persecution strengthens the church of disciples. Amen. Hello, disciples. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, yes, by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto death. I will purge you from everything that is causing you to fail. You will not only taste the victory that circumstances, that change can bring, but you will taste the victory of the resounding peace inside of you that will dominate everything, inner circumference around you. Boy, people's going to want that. They'll ask you for it too. How do you have that? Anyway, second one, or third one down. I quiet the mind. When I move through you with edification by my tongue, says the Spirit of grace, I quiet the mind and clear the channel that I may have first place. Why? So I can teach you the things that I would have you to know. Why? So you will not walk in the flesh, but in my spirit, you will learn to flow. Now, if you pray in tongues, you're going to have that. And I don't mean Shandai 5 minutes a day behind the windshield. We're talking disciples. Every one of these to me is just a treasure. I want these. I want these benefits. Faith that comes from me. Many would not do the things of the leadership of my spirit pertaining to those areas of love and sacrifice had not their hearts been prepared by my compassion. So many will fall short. But for those who will give themselves continually to the edification, he's talking about prayer, to the building up of them, to the building up of themselves in their most holy faith, are those who will also keep themselves in that love. Hear what the Spirit would say. For when I said, build yourself up on your most holy faith, it is the faith, it is that faith that comes from me. Your most holy faith will not be the faith people attempt to employ to serve their own exaltations, their own personal ambitions, and their own greed. For the faith that I develop from that line forward concerning my love is the most holy kind, and it is developed through edification and will not respond to those things that are asked amiss. I want that. I want that. Edification above the problems. Nobody needs that, right? Edification above the problems. For all the things provided for. We sang it again and again. You're a good, good Father. I am loved by you. Fathers provide. Now listen to what he says in this one. I love this. For all the things being provided for, did I not even provide for your edification? Did I not even provide a way that is beyond you to build yourself up in edification above the problems in your life? What provision is there that I have not established, nor have I provided? Come, 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 get to know me. For you will find that I am meek and lowly, and you will find rest for your souls. The next one, when you pray my mind supernaturally. This is the one that first grabbed me when I was reading this. Because this, if I had time, we'd go through that lesson again out of Matthew, where I take five different meetings that Jesus did. I just stay in Matthew so we know we're not duplicating the same meeting more than once. Just five different meetings. You could get them out of Mark, Luke also. Where they brought multitudes to him. I mean multitudes. Don't be thinking the size, a group this size. 4,000, 5,000, maybe 10,000. And it says, and he healed them all. Now see, that's what he says here. Throughout the country, if I had the services, everything would be done, says the Lord. Everything. There'd be no Tommy Perez. There'd be no wheeling them in wheelchairs and wheeling them out the same. No. Everything would be done. For many times in edification, when people let me pray, do you hear this? It's really up to you whether he gets to pray through you or not. When people let me pray, Almighty God has put himself in a position where it's up to you whether you let him pray. What kind of father do we have? That he's the ultimate servant. It was God that had Pastor Bronk and Jim passing out the papers. Just a picture of real servants. See? Your father is the real servant. He's the real servant. And he's the greatest of all. Okay. I got to read it again. Throughout the country, if I had the services, everything would be done, says the Lord. Everything. For many times in edification, when people let me pray my mind in places of authority, I can herd people towards the answers. As you know, don't stop, for you are loosing more fronts than you know when you pray my mind supernaturally, says the Lord. Next, in this process of mortification, hear what the Spirit would say. In this process of mortification, when you pray in the Spirit, don't you know the mysteries you are speaking is everything I am in you, to you, and through you, the hope of glory? And know you not that when you get to the place of glorious harvest and power, that I will already have taken care of those things in you that needed to be put to death, that you might finish your course. See, along the path, it takes endurance, it takes time. But as you do it, he mortifies the handles, is what he's talking about again, the things that the enemy would use. Mr. Good Looking, Miss Good Looking, love of money, the need for exaltation of man, plain old pride. He purges those things. So by the time that harvest, what he's talking about, when the miracles are flowing through you, he's already taken care of the handles that the enemy would have used to destroy you. Who wants that? I don't want the power just to be destroyed and bring another disgrace on the kingdom of God. I want this. He says, if I pray, I'll have it. And I don't think he can lie. I read somewhere he cannot lie. If I pray, I'll have it. What happens if I don't? You're good students. The next one. Do not stop the edification process. It is a good thing to continue to pray in my language that I have given to you. Now, let's stop right there. If you have, you don't have to turn to it. I already marked it so I could turn to it. This one time only, do I give Jim Martin credit for putting me in remembrance of an obscure verse that I had heard quite a few years ago, but to be honest, I'd forgotten it was even in the Bible. But it's good to listen to Dr. Jim Martin. By the way, you don't have time? Excuse me. I hear every message. I don't miss any services here. I hear every message here. Even if I'm out of town, I still hear them. And I hear every message. Now, I don't think they really do, but in the spirit, I have a chair. I'm a card-carrying member of the Family Prayer Center of Immokalee, Florida. And I am a card-carrying member of Grace Christian Church in Beaver Creek, Ohio. I have a chair. Not really, but I do. In fact, I said, Bronk, they're not sitting in my chair, are they? I don't miss any services. I don't miss any. But I know you're too busy. Huh?